are in the world, and welcome to Information Week Live for the week of July 3rd, 2016. I'm Kurt Franklin, Executive Editor for Technical Content at Information Week, and your host for this episode of Information Week Live. This is going to be an interesting episode because, as has happened a couple of times in our history, you get to hear me talk for the entire episode. All the rest of the Information Week staff is off busily covering the latest in IT news. So I'm here to look at what has been happening in the world of IT news this week, and also to tell you about some exciting new things that are going to be happening in the next 4 to 6 weeks here at Information Week Radio. Now, notice I said Information Radio, not just Information Week Live, because while Information Week Live has been the primary radio show we've done here at Information Week for the past few months, we're going to be starting up some new things. And I think it's going to be awfully exciting. I'm truly looking forward to it, and I think it's going to be really good for our audience as well. We'll get to that in just a little while, but let's look at some of the big stories that Information Week has covered in the last week. We've had news about a customer satisfaction survey that could have huge implications for SAP and the rest of the ERP world. Gartner, the big heavy hitter in the world of consulting and market analysis, has come out with the shocking news that the results of the Brexit vote could have a negative impact on IT spending. On the other hand, we hear news that cloud spending is going to top $37 billion in the next year. So let's look at all of these and see what they have to tell us about the state of the industry. Now, in the first one, Nucleus Research, which is a smaller research firm, conducted in-depth interviews with a relatively small number of SAP customers, and they found some things that, well, would probably be disturbing to the folks in Waldorf. According to this report and the survey that they did, they aren't happy with what they're experiencing with SAP, and specifically SAP's flagship S/4HANA. Now, at the Sapphire conference in May, SAP touted the fact that over 3,000 customers have moved to the S/4HANA platform so far. But according to Nucleus Research, 9 out of 10 customers won't be making any additional investments in S/4HANA, and in fact are looking at other options. Now, that ties into the fact that this report says that 6 out of 10 existing customers said that they won't buy SAP software again. Now, Information Week's Jessica Davis has been all over this story. She did a lot of good research on what went into the survey and found that, well, statistically, the survey is probably valid, but it's not certain whether this is showing a growing trend or not. Now, she went out and talked to someone at Nucleus Research, and according to Nucleus Research, Ian Campbell, who is the CEO, SAP has been too slow to embrace the cloud model. Microsoft and Oracle are seen, according to Campbell, as companies that really get it in a much bigger way. Now, Jessica did contact SAP to get their take on it. And while they didn't come back to her with an interview, they did email a statement, and part of it reads, "We reject both the premise and the negative tone of the report. Our high renewal and cross-selling rates, as publicly reported in recent quarters, speak for themselves." They also were kind enough to provide links to reports from Forrester, from Gartner, from IDC, that show that SAP is a leader in various markets around ERP. Jessica also talked to a CFO, Chief Financial Officer, at Tumi. Tumi is the maker of some relatively high-end suitcases and luggage. And their CFO, whose name is Mike Marty, said, not surprisingly, that with any product as big and complex as ERP, you can find good and bad things to say about any of the products in the space. He said that Tumi is, in fact, happy with their decision to go with SAP. They went to the SAP Hybris e-commerce solution, and he says that they would buy SAP software again, although they might change the way they had it implemented. Specifically, he was good enough to say that it's a question for SAP of the controls, which make being a public company and reporting on all of the things that must be reported on a regular basis much easier. And when I look at a report like this, when I look at news like this, one of the things that I see, now I've had contact with SAP for more than 20 years now, and SAP has rarely been a beloved company. SAP is big, it is complex, it is expensive, and that's in terms of both the purchase and the ongoing maintenance of the software. So it's a huge ball of wax for any IT group to sort of wrap their arms around. However, something like ERP, like SAP's products, and there are alternatives. Oracle is one of the primary competitors to SAP in the ERP space. But it allows a company to do things that they could not do without the software. And so the question for many companies is not, do we like it? Are we happy with it? But could we do business the way we're doing business without it? And for a huge number of companies, the answer is simply no. And therefore, while I think this is very interesting information, I'm not positive that it shows that companies are going to be leaving either SAP or the ERP market as a whole in droves. I just don't think the companies can afford to do that, even if in their heart of hearts they would love to. Speaking of leaving, we had, of course, the huge vote over in the UK about whether Great Britain should leave the European Union. And, of course, they said yes. Now, since that time, we've seen lots and lots of people on television. We've heard them on the radio. We've seen them in print talking about what this will mean. And the fact is that the answer in virtually every case is no one is sure. I mean, we can speculate on it, but no one knows exactly how this is going to have an impact on much of anything because it's never happened before. But that isn't keeping people from speculating. And so Gartner has said that they think that their existing prognostications, their existing estimates of what's going to happen to global IT spending are probably wrong, and that they think they're wrong in an optimistic direction because they feel like the Brexit is going to make spending worse. Now, they were careful to note that the primary impact of the Brexit vote on IT spending is going to be in Europe and the UK. Some of that is due to changes in staffing, because as we all know, staffing for IT tends to be geographically fluid. We have people moving all over the place, and if that becomes more difficult, it's going to have an impact on IT staff. I think that we're also going to see impact because while we're in a period of uncertainty, the response of many executive committees is going to be to pull back on spending. If they don't know what the impact is going to be, they just want to be prepared. The way that they can prepare the best in their minds is to minimize spending on places where it's not absolutely critical. We were already in a situation where a lot of companies weren't planning to increase overall IT spending very much. One of the few areas where they were planning to increase spending is in security. And so this likely is going to pull the spending estimates down to the negative territory, at least for the near term. What will the long-term impact be? Oh, now there we seriously get into the no one knows category of life. And it depends on who you talk to, because the people who love the idea of a separate UK obviously think that the economic impact is going to be favorable. Those who see the European Union as being necessary and a good thing for every nation in Europe have some variation of the sky is falling going on. We just don't know. I hope, as I think most people do, that the results will be good. And that's assuming that the Brexit goes forward at all. Let's all remember that the vote that took place among the electorate is an advisory vote. We have to wait until the next government is elected in the UK, and they get to decide whether they will, in fact, invoke Article 50 and begin the process of removing Great Britain from the EU. Stay tuned. This is certainly one that's going to be talked about for a long time because, frankly, no one knows. I'm going to take a moment to get a sip of my coffee. This is not one of the shows where I can do that while other people are talking, so please excuse that momentary pause. Let's look now at a story in Information Week this week, a story by one of our editors at large, Charlie Babcock, on an IDC report that says that cloud spending is going to be more than $37 billion. That's with a B in 2016. Now, that's on all kinds of clouds, public and private, but that represents an increase of more than 15% since 2015. Furthermore, IDC forecasts that by 2020, cloud service spending is going to be almost equivalent to the spending on traditional IT. Now, that's an amazing, amazing forecast, because remember, when we're talking about spending on the cloud, we're talking only about the services, or to put it in slightly different terms, this is replacement for the software. This is all software spending. So what they're seeing is that spending on the software, on the service, is going to be the equivalent of spending on traditional forms of both software and hardware. And that's fairly amazing. Now, I think it's fascinating when we look at things like cloud spending to dig into it a bit. And we didn't really in this article because, well, we have a limited number of words we can devote to any one topic, even on the web. But the question of who in a company is going to be spending the money. You know, we talk about this thing called shadow IT a lot, and shadow IT is typically described as spending on IT services by departments that aren't the IT department. So if the marketing department goes out and purchases services, this would be shadow IT. If sales does this, if product design, if for that matter HR, if they go out and just use someone's credit card and expense the whole services ball of wax if they need, well, that's shadow IT. And according to Gartner and a lot of the other analysis firms, we've seen shadow IT growing over the past 5 to 10 years to the point that in many companies, the spending on IT services from departments outside the IT department exceeds the spending of the IT department. Now, that's a complete turnover of how things have always been. If I had thought about it ahead of time, I would cue up some band playing The World Turned Upside Down. But the impressive thing is that virtually all of shadow IT spending is on cloud services. Let's let that sink in just a little bit. We have all of this new spending going on. Virtually all of it is on cloud services. You don't have people in the marketing department going out and buying servers on their own. They aren't going out and buying their own network switches. They're buying services. In other words, what they care about is getting a job done, not how that job is done. Since so many of these business units are spending their money that way, we're seeing IT change to reflect that as well. You put all that together, and it's not hard to see how Gartner is coming up with this kind of conclusion that, well, the world is moving in the direction of the cloud. Now, in a separate report, one of the we had an article by one of our contributors that said that no cloud is going to be one of those policies that, well, it's just not tenable by 2020. This was another Gartner report where they said that the way IT departments are moving and the way that corporations are moving, what we're going to see is those holdouts that today say we're going to do everything on our servers or on hosted servers, we don't trust the cloud, we're not using the cloud for anything, those are going to become, well, almost impossible to find. Why? Now, it's a combination of things. One of the factors is that the problems that people have seen in the cloud are being solved. The cloud is becoming more secure, so a lot of those security issues are going away. The cloud is becoming easier to integrate into existing systems. The ability to build hybrid cloud infrastructures is becoming a very real possibility for a growing number of companies. So we see the wall around cloud services falling for a lot of companies. As that's happening, the economics of cloud are getting better and better and better. you know, companies are finding that they don't necessarily save money by reducing headcount, because you still need to have people in-house who can help configure cloud services, help take care of your client devices, help take care of your network, help do all the things that have to be done, except deal with so many servers sitting on your data center floor. Companies are finding that they can have a complete and well-oiled IT machine without having row upon row of servers. And if they can eliminate the row upon row of servers, that means that they can make their data center smaller. It means that their utility spends go down. The economics are all working in the direction of the cloud, and that's important. So what do we have? Two separate reports, one common conclusion. If you're fighting a rear guard action against cloud in your company, I'm afraid you've already lost. Well, there are a lot of articles here on Information Week this week. You know, every day at Information Week, we put up, somewhere between 6 and 10 different articles on a wide variety of subjects. And if you haven't made Information Week part of your daily reading routine, I highly recommend that you go and you make that happen. And let me give you a heads up on something that's going to be happening here at Information Week in the near future. Information Week has, well, we are part of a company called UBM. UBM has media properties all over the world, as well as trade shows and conferences all over the world. We are, in fact, the world's largest producer of trade shows and conferences on a global scale. Now, Information Week has a special relationship with a conference called Interop. If you've been listening to me over the years, you've heard a lot about Interop, because I've been fortunate enough to be part of the Interop Network Operations Center team for a number of years. I've been covering Interop for, close to 20 years. It's just a great conference that brings together technologists and technology managers and executives from all over the place. We're going to be providing coverage for Interop's conference. And one of the things that we're going to be doing here at Information Week is a series of radio shows that are sponsored by Interop and deal with some of the issues that will be dealt with in the Interop conference in 2017. Now, that means that we're going to have a regular series and a rotating group of topics that cover things like network infrastructure, security, cloud services, big data and data analysis, DevOps and agile development, and technology leadership. We're going to have all of the editors at Information Week involved in these shows. There's going to be, I think, one a week on one of these topics. And I'm already looking forward to producing these shows and being a host of some of them. I think it's going to be just dynamite. Now, we'll be giving lots more information about these on informationweek.com, so keep your eyes open for that and be ready, because this will be available not only as a live show and streaming, but these will be available as podcasts. So get ready. I'm excited. And I'll tell you what, I would love to hear your ideas about shows that we should be doing, topics we should be addressing. So drop me a line, curtis.franklin@ubm.com. and let me know what you think about topics that we should be addressing, how we should be doing these shows. We've got some time. We're in the planning portion now, and I would love to hear from you, the audience, about what you would like to hear on these shows. Well, I'm afraid that we're coming to the end of our time here at Information Week Live, and this is the point at which I would normally ask my colleagues what they're doing and how to find them on social media. Since I don't have anyone to ask this week, I'll tell you about what I'm doing. Have just done a longish article on 9 myths around Java. That'll be going up this weekend. I would love to have you read that and give me your feedback on other myths that I might have missed. Try saying that into a microphone a few times fast. I've also got a piece coming up on changes to the Scrum Guide. Now, if you're at all involved in agile development, you know what Scrum is. And the Scrum Guide is to the Scrum methodology what the Agile Manifesto is to agile development as a whole. It is the defining document for what it means to do things in a Scrum. It's been changed for the first time in 3 years, added a new section that is short but meaningful, because it gets to some of the things that you start to hear when you go to conferences about Agile. We're talking values, and values are things that we tend to talk about rarely in IT, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Scrum community and the Agile community as a whole responds to the inclusion of values. For news on when these articles go up and the other things that I do here at Information Week, please follow me. I'm on Twitter at KG4GWA. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Curtis.Franklin. On Facebook, you can follow me there. And, of course, on all of the other bits and pieces of the social media world, trying out Snapchat. I do some periscoping, enjoying Instagram. Find me all over the place. Follow me where you want. Would love to have conversations with you on all of these different bits and pieces of social media. Well, for everyone at Information Week, thank you for joining us. We very much appreciate it. We'll be back here next week with more of the Information Week editorial team than just me. Look forward to seeing you then. Until then, so long. See you next time.